Oh, thank you, worship team. And turning your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then chapter 2. 1 little bit of a preview of what we're doing with the rest of our time is I'll be sharing from the Word, and then we'll take some time for sharing about how God has used Pastor Jim in your life. So be prepared to say something if you'd like to make a few short comments. I have an individual mic. I'll kind of MC and walk around and pass it off to you. You need to use the mics, so if someday, you know, when Jim's on an island in Bermuda, he wants to listen to this, you have to hold the mic, all right? And then Jim's going to come and share a few words as well. So in chapter 5, I'm just going to read chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Just read it and move on. It says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work." And that, folks, is what we're doing this morning. Okay? We want to respect, honor, and acknowledge what God has done in using Pastor Jim and Nora as well among us. Now in chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 13. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. About 18 years ago, Open Door was looking for its first associate pastor, and we found him already attending here and teaching studies among us. Jim and Nora were serving at the New Tribes Mission Training Institute just west of Fredonia, and in God's providential timing, New Tribes Mission was consolidating their training centers, and Jim and Nora were asked actually to go someplace else, and we were looking for the associate, and we asked them to stay and serve among us, which they have done. A couple weeks ago when I was thinking about this service, the term that came to mind as I thought about Pastor Jim was the term faithful servant. Faithful servant. And this passage describes a faithful servant of the gospel. It's what God is looking for in each of us. So I don't want to just, you know, always point to Jim as I'm sharing some of these thoughts, because this is what God wants us to be, a faithful servant of the gospel. And if we would carry out as a church family these traits, we're going to be making and multiplying a lot of disciples in the years to come. There are three statements, essentially, I see in this portion that we're looking at, that the faithful servant of the gospel cares about people like a mother, and secondly, leads spiritually like a father, and then teaches people to trust God's word. Three very, very important ministry expressions. In caring like a mother, we're going to see that the important issues are sincere motives. Moms have to have the right motives. Struggle sometimes, right? And they care about the whole person. It's not just tasks. And finally, they are hardworking. Verse 5. You know, and Paul is speaking when he says we, you know that we is the apostolic team that Paul was with. You know that we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, but not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Caring for people like a mom. Moms are not just task-oriented. That's secondary. They do what they do because they care about people. And so motives is the first issue he mentions here. And the motives are all mentioned in the negative, because the best way to discern sincere motives is because we've all seen plenty of insincere motives. Didn't use flattery. You can usually tell when someone is saying nice things about you because they want something from you. You have kind of this sense of being manipulated. And Paul said that wasn't us. We weren't motivated by greed. He says, secondly, ministry has been marred over and over by big-name preachers, maybe especially who are exposed for scandal and excess. A little secret, Pastor Jim actually has a whole closet of Armani suits and Rolex watches, but he's been saving them till retirement so that nobody looks down on him for it. But no, I won't embarrass him, but I know personally just how opposite that is from Pastor Jim. Not seeking praise, verse 6, which is why he's probably very uncomfortable during this service. But I think people sometimes wonder, what do associate pastors do? And the answer is a huge overlap, especially associate of adult ministries, a huge overlap with what I do, just that it's more unseen, less pieces of the public pie, if you will. And I know I couldn't even do what I do if there wasn't someone over these past years who has come alongside me, leading, training, serving, appointments, meeting, details, organizing. I don't know who's going to keep track of the tables and chairs after Jim retires to know where they really go. The list is crazy long, and it's virtually all unseen service. And I like to think of the impact he's had on us in general as a church in our DNA, that faithful service is what a church family is all about. Faithful but unseen service. I know yesterday with having the wedding for Sarah and Stuart and having it here in the reception here, I don't know where to start with thank you notes because so many people just helped out and did things. It's been a part of ministry, just watching the church through the years. Sometimes people will tell me something that of an impact of how a public service or a message or even a video or whatever had, and I go, I'm just thinking in my mind, I say thank you by thinking, you know how many people it took behind the scenes just to have this service, you could say, the public pieces. And beyond that, of course, there's so much of ministry that doesn't happen during these couple of hours. Unseen service, not motivated by praise of men. Secondly, this issue then is caring about the whole person. We're this, gentle, caring like a mom for children, not just sharing the gospel, not just facts, but rather our whole lives with you. Pastors are sometimes known mostly for the public teaching or the programs, but it's so much more. Just like if you think about your mom, you don't think only about the tasks that they did for you. You think about the heart that was behind the task. And that's what you appreciate a mom for. He says, you become very dear to us. Moms love kids. That's behind everything they do. And Paul is saying it's like that in ministry. You got to love people. I've had hundreds of staff meetings with Pastor Jim, thousands of conversations, plus being around him in so many variety of meetings. Jim loves people, and it's what motivates him. And it's the example he is for us that we need to love people. And so as you think about your own spiritual growth and maturity or service or whatever, maybe it's a role here at church, maybe it's a role in the community or whatever it is, you have to ask yourself, do you love people? Because there will be no service of anybody that makes any sense at all unless you love people. It can be sharing the gospel, or it can be picking up, or after some event, or whatever, but if you don't love people, loving people is not a personality thing. It may be that you're much quieter, less outgoing, you don't like to be around people a lot, but there would be no point in serving if you didn't love people and care about people. I hope you see your coworkers and your neighbors and Uncle So-and-so at the family gathering as people God loves and therefore you love. As I think about our desire to see people come to know Christ, we almost have to see John 3:16 on everyone's forehead. God so loved this person. Right now they're a customer that I don't really like to deal with, but God so loved this person that He gave His only Son. We have to love people. The third trait of a mom is, verse 9, hardworking. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship, working night and day, not to be a burden to you while we preach the gospel. And of course, he was working with tents during the day and gospel at night. And like mom, a hardworking. Starting today, Priscilla and I are empty nesters. And so I've watched a hardworking mom for some 33 years. And right now, she's kind of tired after this last week or 3 months or whatever it was. Being a mom is hard work, and ministry is hard work. I was one thing that crossed my mind just the last couple of weeks. I've had a couple different calls and emails from some Sunday school teachers asking me a few questions or clarifications as they're preparing for their class, because we have some really insightful kids asking some really good, tough questions about the subject matter. And as I was interacting with them and just thinking, this is amazing. You know, on Friday evening or Saturday morning, when a lot of people are sitting on their deck, we have Sunday school teachers who are working through scriptures and getting their craft organized and trying to figure stuff out, how to communicate, because they're hardworking. Especially this week, today is the end of our Sunday school kids build year, as well as the adult Bible, and working and serving in that way. Volunteers, thank you for your hard work. Pastor Jim, thank you for your hard work. Like a mom, caring about people. Secondly, like a father leading spiritually, verse 10, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, encouraging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. It's a bold thing for Paul to say we lived holy, righteous, and blameless. That's a scary, trembling thought for any leader to say that that's at least where we're headed. And I know that we as leaders are far from flawless, but it's what we seek to do, to address our own failures, to be growing. Spiritual leadership positions are good sometimes just to challenge us at what we want to be in leading by example. You may have found, as if you're a dad, that being a dad is really good for your spiritual life, because you begin to notice things in your kids that you see came from you. It's something about, it might be questionable words you used, you know, never thought a thing of it, till you hear a four-year-old say it, and it just seems so inappropriate. Who says that? And your wife looks at you and goes, yeah. Or you're watching something on TV, and all of a sudden you realize the kids are in the room, and you go, wait a minute, what am I watching this for? Leading by example. Jim, thank you for your life and your lifestyle in leading us by example. And then leading by encouragement, verse 12, there's these three important terms. My translation says encouraging, comforting, and encouraging. You can translate them differently. The first word is this idea of coming alongside to just tell people what they need to live like. Okay, it's what a dad does all the time. Do this, don't do that. It's just that teaching, instructing that a dad has to do. That's ministry. The second term is so similar that sometimes you can translate them the same, but the second term is a more emotional term. It has the idea of empathy and understanding. The patience of saying, you know your child, and so when you're instructing your child whom you love, you say things differently. You come with an understanding. I know this is really hard for you because you are more like this, but you're saying the same thing. And then the third term, this word I have urging, or you have a charge or implore, that's when dads get that really serious tone of voice. And there may be more blunt. There may be extra clear because a child has just made a serious mistake or is in danger of making a very serious mistake. And so you are very direct with them. Jim, thank you for often having difficult conversations. I know in your 20 years of ministry and missions, as well as almost 20 years here, you have had a lot of those one-on-one conversations, and takes courage and love, because that's what a dad does. That's why a dad or a mom is willing to have those tough conversations, because they're so important. Verse 13, like a mom, like a dad, but then teaching people to trust God's word. Verse 13, we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, he's talking to the Thessalonians, when you received it, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Paul says, you understood as we preached the gospel that this was God's word, and God's word is unique, and God's word is life-changing. God's word is different. I have a whole bunch of books in my library. Jim, Nate does. A lot of books that are inspiring. One book that's inspired. And that is the basis of ministry, that God has spoken. If you're one of the scores of people who have taken one of Pastor Jim's studies, one thing you know very sure, not just that he knows God's word, and he has, I think, encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible, but he trusts God's word. He says, this is what we base our life on. And that's the point. He says, Paul says, you know that we feel the authority of God's word. And because it's unique and authoritative, that's why it changes our life. It's at work in you who believe. And we've been blessed as a church to have pastors, teachers, men and women, leaders teaching who are committed, from adults down through the kids. This is God's word. This will change your life. Starting with how you know you're going to heaven when you die, and then everything about life that God addresses, because it's unique, because it's authoritative, that's why we trust it. And thank you, Jim, for continually taking us to the authority of God's word, because God has spoken. And I'm glad you'll still be around so I can ask you questions from time to time as well.